Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is March 13th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we're on page 67. We're going to be reading the paragraph that begins with "We avoid retaliation or argument," and we are reading one paragraph only this morning, ending with "Tolerant view of each and every one." Today's readers are Eileen M. reading the text, Reggie O. reading page 164, and Lois P. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and announcements will be Betsy H. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, March 12th, 2023, the Sunday special edition, is 20045, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20046. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie. This is Bonnie B. from Minnesota, gratefully recovered by the grace of God for today. Here are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service, and I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie B., and I will now ask Joanne L. the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, and I think it's Stephanie. Thank you for your service. One, common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much for your service, Joanne L. Well, let's see how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 67. We're going to be reading, it's really the second paragraph, I think I said the first paragraph earlier, but it's really the second full paragraph that begins with, we avoid retaliation or argument. We're reading one paragraph only this morning, and that paragraph ends with tolerant view of each and every one, a short but powerful paragraph. I will now ask Eileen M. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. This is a great paragraph because, you know, the word retaliate means to attack someone in order to protect oneself, actually. And, you know, when I think about that action, I think about, like, what am I defending? And here's an example, okay, of me. Something that would happen with me is I, you know, wanting to be right. And, you know, wanting to be right really is all about pride and ego, you know, is how I want other people to see me. And here's, you know, that's where, you know, my higher power comes in, because, you know, what I've learned in this process of inventory is that I don't have to go to every fight I'm invited to. And for me, that's hard, because that's kind of my default mode is, hey, go to the fight, you know. You know, that's really not the way to be of service. And, you know, here's something I wanted to share today that I learned in my last inventory was that if somebody else seems to be, they seem to need to be right, for example, and or they want to be in the limelight, like the center of attention, is that's where I get to practice the principle of humility. You know, I can let them be right. And that's really hard to do. And I think that's such a, I think really the slogan that comes into the mix here is how important is it? Because that's really, that's such a great slogan. Because really my higher power knows the truth of any situation anyway. So, you know, I get to go to higher power and ask to be changed, you know, and I love that slogan, bless them, change me. I really need to work on that in these situations. And, you know, as a recovered woman, I get to keep the focus on my side of the street because it's so easy to just focus on, oh, hey, this is what they're doing wrong, you know, and just find fault with them. And it's just so much easier. But the, you know, the high road really is to, you know, just let them be who they are. Anyway, thanks so much. I pass with that.
Oh, thank you so much for getting us started, Eileen M. Bless them, change me, love that. So let's see, where are we? Okay, now is the time. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And I'm going to take a lineup. Please let us know your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from. So who would like to share today?
Jim E.
Michigan. I've got Jim E., and I didn't catch who was next.
Barbara A., California.
I've got Barbara A.
Kara,
who else?
B.
Kara B.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Debbie V. from Virginia, please.
I think that was Debbie V.
Yes, thank you for hearing me. Thank you.
California.
Oh, didn't hear that. Heard California only.
Agnes A, California.
Agnes A.
A-G-N-E-S. Uh-huh.
And was there someone else in there?
Chevy S.
Is A.
Okay, I've got Chevy S and Liz A. So we're going to go with that lineup. I've got Jim E, Barbara A, Kara B, Debbie V, Agnes A, Chevy S, and Liz A. And please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll start with Jim E., followed by Barbara A.
Hi, everybody. This is Jim here in Vancouver Island, BC, Canada. Thanks for the meeting. When I first worked the steps, about 9 years ago, that idea of not retaliating, one way my fear would manifest itself is through shutting down and not enforcing my boundaries. And at the beginning of my journey in the steps, I sort of used this part of this part is talking about step four, but I use this part of the big book as a justification. Well, I don't have to respond because that was scary for me. My fear didn't want me to respond. So I'm not supposed to retaliate, so I don't have to respond and I will shut down. What I've learned in the intervening years, there's a difference between retaliation, which is out of anger, which is spite, and attempt to get back at someone and inflict damage of some kind. there's a difference between retaliation and a response. And sometimes, often, in my experience, the most helpful thing to the other person is to have a constructive response. And I don't have to be a punching bag. This is about how I respond. And I sometimes the most courageous and most helpful thing is to respond in a constructive way and let people know, depending on the situation, that you didn't appreciate something. And that builds relationships. We don't have to avoid conflict. We just need to deal with it in a constructive way and ask our higher power what to do. I'm very grateful for the steps and for my abstinence, my recovery. And I think that's all I have to say this morning. I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Jim E. from Vancouver, Canada. And Barbara A., you're up next, followed by Kara B.
Thank you, and good morning. Thank you for your service. Reading this paragraph, the sentence, if we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. That just hit me this morning, how I have fought so much to try to make someone change or to understand my view, or you've got to listen to me. I can help you. You've got to do it this way. And how that's not being helpful at all. I am so blessed. My mother is 91 years old, and I am able to have a relationship with her. She still drives. She's alert. And I can practice daily with her and make a living amend every day. And using this very, very precise instructions in this paragraph, you know, avoid the argument with her. I don't have to be right. I can allow her the space to grow and be who she is without making her wrong and without getting my sisters all involved and saying, she was wrong, this is what she did. And it's just eye-opening and loving, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. My part in my recovery to work with a sick person, to work with myself who is a sick person, is to avoid that retaliation and that argument. And I wouldn't treat, I guess I look at animals because sometimes it's easier than humans, but I wouldn't, a sick animal, a sick human, I wouldn't, you know, yell at them or you know, turn my back on them or kick them or make them wrong. I just like that. If we do this, if we argue, if we retaliate, then we destroy our chance of being helpful. And that's what today I know my higher power has been able to show me how to be helpful, how to be helpful to other people who are struggling in the program, how to be helpful to myself. God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. So I'm grateful to share, grateful that I am in a place today where I feel God's light. I feel like I'm going forward in the program. I feel like I'm another person on the bus that's traveling with all of you and sharing in this wonderful, wonderful recovery. And that's it. Thank you. I pass and I mute.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Barbara A. And before I turn over to Kara B., I want to let everyone know, if you've just joined us, we're on page 67, second full paragraph that begins with, we avoid retaliation or argument, and we are just reading that one paragraph. So up next is Kara B., followed by Debbie V.
Thank you so much. Hi, friends. I'm Kara B. from Michigan. Pre-recovery, my defenses were up all the time. I appreciate that it was pointed out earlier that when we want to retaliate, it's because we're trying to defend something. And oftentimes it was my ego. And I was so sure pre-recovery that if everyone would just change, then I could be okay. And so I thought I had to try and control other people or defend myself from other people. What a gift to be in recovery and recognize that God has got my back and I don't have to defend anything. I'm there to do God's work. And as I do so, He protects me. And oftentimes it kind of like reminds me of that part in the bit where it says, talks about hurts, real or imagined. A lot of them were imagined because oftentimes it really wasn't about me. When I asked God to please show me, help me see the other person through His eyes, then I can see that they're just trying to get my needs met, just like I was trying to get my needs met all the times that I have stepped on the toes of my fellows and they have retaliated. And they're doing it in ways that tend to spill out on me or affect me, but I can choose to turn to God, ask Him to remove my fear, my anger, my resentment, look at my side of the street, and then I can have compassion for them. I can see the situation with clarity when I look at my part, and then I can have it's so much better. I just feel sorry for them. That is up to and including the horrific abuse that I experienced as a little person. I thought I could never forgive that or have compassion for the perpetrators. I mean, even now I'm being corrected for the person who did that. That's a label. The person, the people that did the things to me were very, very sick. And the gift for me is that I'm out of it and I no longer am in that place. I get to walk away from that. They're still in the soup of destruction that led them to do those things to me. And I have sincere, through so much work and so much prayer, I have sincere compassion for them. So one other point that came to mind was when I'm really bothered by someone else, oftentimes they're exhibiting one of my character weaknesses. So that's a great example of you spot it, you got it. I can ask God to hold up the mirror for me and show me when and where I do the same thing so that I can make changes in my own life. So I really appreciate that there's a no solution than the way that I rolled before because it was so destructive and so not helpful. Thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Cara B. And next up will be Debbie V, followed by Agnes A.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Hello, family. I'm so glad to be here. I'm recovered in Virginia. I come from a family that had a lot of trauma. My dad, who was a rageaholic. And when I married, I actually married someone who has a lot of anger and a lot of rage at times. And what would happen before program, or when I'm unskillful in program, what I do is I get triggered, and then I go into a loop, and that loop is to defend myself or to disappear. And something miraculous is happening as a result of these steps and a belief and a trust and a faith in a power greater than self. Now when my beloved becomes enraged, I'm able to stop and pause, be in the sacred pause. So I come into my breathing, I say the serenity prayer. I emphasize a different word each time I say it, and it's like a mantra, a spiritual saying over and over in my head and in my heart. And I breathe and I stabilize, and I've been seeing something that is very interesting. First of all, I see her pain. I could see her facial expressions. I could see tears. I could see that she's in a lot of pain and suffering. And so I stay in the prayer. I stay in the pause. I'm connected to a power greater than self because I can't do this without that power and strength and the willingness to do something different. And I'm noticing that I'm also hearing a lot of the pain and struggle, what's underneath the anger and the rage. And now I'm able to show up as an instrument. And I'm able to actually, with thought, I'm actually taking responsibility, not for my partner, but for what impact I have through my words and my actions. And something miraculous is happening, and there's more harmony between us. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Welcome to the newcomers. The miracles are happening, and I hear them every morning. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie V. from Virginia. Next will be Agnes A., followed by Chevy S.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me share and be of service. This is a good one for me, I guess, because I just finished my inventory and I gave away most of it to my sponsor, and it was a soul ringer. I've never done an inventory this way. Before it was, you know, write a story, do a workbook, answer 176 questions. And I thought this one would be easy. Name the person, you know, the cause and my part in it and what it affected. So, but wow, this was a different lens, because now I was redefining selfishness, right? It was where I wanted my way. I saw my inventory as, you know, where the resentments became, where did I not get my way? Certainly a new way of looking at it. Self-centeredness being where I was showboating or grandstanding, you know, to be perceived in the positive light by somebody. Everything had a new meaning, dishonesty and all that stuff. So then we come to this one, which is, let's not retaliate or argue. And that was a big one for me too. But I've got so many gems here, because if we're in a relationship, we have to figure out how to confront situations. How to confront situations in a kind way, right? To stay in relationship. We have to learn how to be kind and tolerant in our view of others, see them through God's light, God's lens. You know, I've got so many gems from today. Do I want to be right, or do I want to be happy in a relationship? Let them have the last word. Let them be right. You know, I used to say sarcastically, well, then let that be the story. And that would be the end of the argument, which wasn't kind. You know, you don't have to accept every invitation to every fight. Bless them, change me. So many gems I've got this morning. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that in doing my inventory, I learned that I loved arguments from my legal background. I had to have the last word. I am so looking forward to for God to help me in relationships, right? To use all these gems that I've heard today. Right? Bless them, change me. They're sick. As sick as I am or sicker than I am, it doesn't matter. But we have to exist in this space, and the only way to do that is to have a spiritual way of dealing with stuff that
gentle
I dealt
reminder.
With properly. Yes. So that's, I just want to say thank you for all the gems that I got from today, and I'm looking forward for my defects of character, you know, to be transformed by living in this spiritual way. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Agnes A. from California. And next we have Chevy S. followed by Liz A. And Chevy, if you could hit star one, please. We can't hear you.
Hello?
There you go.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Wow, what a purposeful meeting. It's Chevy F. from New Jersey, grateful recovering compulsive eater. And resentment. I think of the word resentment, retaliation, it all has the re. Like, it's like if I don't find a way out, if I don't turn to higher power to release me from it, if I don't do the work that it takes to get through it, it's going to keep, you know, my brain, my emotions are going to keep resending it to me, and it's just going to snowball until it somewhere it just stops working, something explodes. And I recently had an experience that was quite shocking, because here I was working, you know, a really solid program, and I was around family, and out of nowhere I reacted to something that a family member said. in a way that shocked me. I reacted out of anger, and I totally misunderstood what happened. You know, the person's comment was really not what I thought it was. And before I left, you know, the house, I went over to this person, and I apologized for the way I reacted. I just knew I was not going to sleep this over and leave the other person with those feelings and myself with that resentment. And that person explained what happened, and I said, wow, I really misunderstood, you know. And I was amazed at that person's openness, because I always had this judgment like that person cannot be open. Apparently, he was able to. And what was amazing to me was he said to me, he said, I'm so glad that this time I'm right. And it hit me. It hit me like, whoa, because I realized that in this relationship, we were constantly fighting each other, you know. Obviously not overtly, but we were like, I was always wanting to be right, show him. And what I recognized was that there was something I really wanted from him, you know, unconditional acceptance and love. And that disappointment of not getting it just made me kind of go into ego, you know, ego that says, as long as you're right, you know, he's the crazy one. You've got the tools. And it didn't allow me to just see the pain and get through it and turn to higher power to be that unconditionally loving, you know, relationship for me. And then when I thought about it, I realized where it began, where that comment came from, where my reaction came from. Because when I walked into the door, that person seemed like he didn't really greet me, and I felt rejected. But I did away with it in the moment. I just like, okay, I didn't like the way that felt, and I didn't have a moment to really be present with it. But that's where, so I'm just sharing this. Yeah, thank you. I'm just sharing this to say how, you know, I'm so grateful that we have a framework to work through our resentments. And the beautiful, you know, the beauty that comes from it, and the relationship with higher power that comes from it, and the awareness that, you know, I cannot live with those resentments. They just don't work. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you. Okay.
And Chevy, was that F as in Frank,
yes,
or F?
Yes. Yes, F as in Frank.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay. Thank you, Chevy F from New Jersey. And then we're going to take Liz A, and after Liz, we'll take another lineup. So, Liz, would you like to share with us?
Good morning. This is Liz A from California. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and everyone else doing service on the line, everyone who shared. This is such a powerful little paragraph. You know, I've been in programs for most of my life. And when I did, in the past, when I did inventories and went to make amends to my mother, I would, you know, make amends for my part, but then I always added why I acted that way. Because you did this, I did that, self-justification. You know, and of course, that would make her retaliate and be cruel to me. It would end up in an argument, and I would end up with a bigger resentment. And I couldn't figure out what was going wrong. And now in program, what I did was I said my part, and then I told her everything right that she did. I was grateful for all the positive things that she did for me as a child. And it was so transformative, I can't tell you. And, you know, I realized that she was very skeptical still because of the history that we've had. So what I do now is I make living amends by calling her at least 3 times a week, asking all about her, what's going on with her, and not even mentioning myself once. If she asks me about myself, I give her a brief answer. but I don't go into what's ailing me because I've stopped looking for her to be any different than she is. You know, I heard somewhere that forgiveness is letting go of the belief that people would have been any different or can be any different than they are. And it's just amazing. You know, I take her as she is. Her reactions, her behaviors are all about her, not about me. So I can be helpful to her by just doing the right thing, the next right thing today. And I leave everything of what I held against her out of it. And I'm free. I'm free of my resentment. And today I have a good relationship with her. And it's been a true miracle. And I wanted to share that. Thank you. And have a great day, everyone.
And thank you so much, Liz A. from California. And we're going to take another lineup. But before we do that, if you've just joined us, we're on page 67, second full paragraph that begins with, "We avoid retaliation or argument." And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sharon E.
Bonnie T.
Sharon E. Bonnie.
Genoa V. Roz G.
I think I heard a Janelle before Roz.
Genoa V.
Janella V. Okay. And then I heard Roz G. Cheryl S. I think. Is that an S or an F?
S is in Sam.
Thank you. We probably could take one more.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay. And please make sure to let us know where you're calling from so members can find you on the member list. And the lineup I've got is Sharon E., Bonnie T., Janella V., Roz G., Cheryl S., and Jordan L. And we'll go ahead and get started with Sharon E., followed by Bonnie T.
Hi, this is Sharon E. from Ohio, and thank you, everyone, for what you've shared. I agree, it's been just full of gems today, and I appreciate that because I'm going to take some of that and use it. For me, it goes back to control again, because in avoiding retaliation, I'm not controlling the outcome. It's allowing them to have their feelings, not trying to change their way of thinking or their way of speaking. Like, perhaps I think they're being too dramatic. That's their life, not mine. I don't have the right to tell them how they can react to what I've just told them. Because how would I like that? I mean, this is part of it. How do I wouldn't appreciate someone telling me, no, you can't act that way. And yet that's what I've done, because I've been kind of trying to control, we'll just say my husband, on his way of reacting. And that's the way he is. So I can't control that. So to avoid retaliation, I have to give up that control. I can't mom everyone forever. I have to be helpful by being kind and tolerant and not controlling. And I just want to thank you all for everything that you've said today. And I'll take that with me forever, I hope. And I thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon E. from Ohio. Next up, Bonnie T., followed by Janella V.
Good morning. This is Bonnie T. from Chicago, Illinois. And just thank you for such a powerful, wonderful meeting today. I agree, lots of gems in this. And what I'd like to share this morning is an idea of, as we prepare and as we do that fourth step and we look at some of that stuff that's on our list, you know, for me, that was always such a scary prospect, I think, until I did it, what I learned in vision about my part in the selfishness and dishonesty and the fear, that really was revolutionary for me and how I saw both my part and even further on when I dealt with people who in my eighth and ninth step that are further up the road there. But just sort of wanted to focus on, in my experience with that, the outcome of doing what this paragraph actually says has really been the gateway to freedom from both compulsive overeating and really freedom from my fear of people and places and situations, and really just this idea that I can live in peace and balance and harmony with everyone based on what this step tells me or what this paragraph tells me. And the freedom that comes from that is, it's profound to me as I think of that this morning. It's like I can go anywhere around anyone and I don't have to live in fear anymore, which I always did. And I am just a free bird as a result of this. I don't have to avoid retaliation or argument. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be wrong. I can simply exist with others with a kindly and tolerant view of each and everyone. And really, I can look at them as sick people when their behavior has harmed me. It's just profound. And so that's what I have to share this morning. Thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie T. from Chicago, Windy City, Illinois. Next, we have Janella V. followed by Roz G.
Good morning, family. This is Genoa V. It's G as in George, E-N-O-A. Last initial is V as in Victor, calling from Las Vegas. Thank you guys so much for all your shares today. And, you know, I was thinking just how quickly I can go from, you know, being Tammy Faye Baker and being so grateful to ready to dig somebody's eyes out. So I had a situation on Saturday at an estate sale that there was an item I wanted. And when I asked the lady who I thought was giving the sale, it was actually another person there to buy. And she grabbed it. She said, oh, I was going to get this. And so, you know, I didn't get it. And I really was trying to practice this program. I didn't say anything to her, but boy, I was boiling. So when we got in the car, me and my husband, I did a quick 10 step. He's in program as well. So I did a quick 10 step. I prayed. And I really just tried to let that go. I really thought I had let it go. And yesterday we were at the grocery store and there was a long line of people waiting to go out of Sam's, you know, to scan your receipt. And so these two ladies came up, they had one item. Now it's a long line and they just decided to get right in front of us. And so I'm standing there and I'm just looking and I said, now they see us here. My script says that you're supposed to say, hey, would you mind if I step in? And I would say, of course, because I'm a nice person. But they didn't do that. They didn't follow my script and my protocol for how we need to act in public. And before I caught myself, I was on that lady. And I said, you know, you really should be more polite and ask people before you hop in front of them. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I said, no, you're not. And she said, okay. Thank God she was working some kind of program because she didn't take my invitation. And it really scared the bejesus out of me at how quickly I can become spiritually unfit when I feel like that old character defect of mine, you don't see me. I'm invisible. I'm not good enough. You're disrespecting me. Oh, my goodness. When we got to the truck, I asked my husband, I said, why didn't you stop me? He said, it happened so fast, I couldn't stop you in the middle. I felt really ashamed of myself. Like, if all of you had been there, I probably wouldn't have acted that way. So I really have to be on guard for these character defects and my default mode popping up on a daily basis and how I react with people. That is not the big book that I would want somebody to see Genoa demonstrating. So thank you all for your shares, and it just lets me know that every day I have to continue to work this. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Genoa V from Las Vegas. Roz G, you're next, and Cheryl S.
All right. Thank you very much for your service. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And before this program and in even many years through it, so pre-program behavior and pre-recovered and spiritually, you know, minded behavior, I would, when I felt as though someone did me wrong, I would sit and plan how I was going to get back at them. It could have been through mean, bitchy ways, or it could have been through sweet, sticky ways through total conniving manipulation. And while I was conniving and thinking about how I was going to get back at that person, I was eating. I was shoving macaroni and cheese and chocolate chip cookies and watching soap operas and TV while I was thinking about all these things I could do to get back at them. And that never did me any good at all. It never got me anywhere. I didn't have quality friends. I was lonely. I was depressed, miserable, and angry. That's the kind of woman I brought to a relationship. And learning through this book about how to have a kindly and tolerant view of others has been a revolutionary attitude in my life. And I haven't, you know, the woman that I just described to you, I had that woman hasn't shown up, you know, for a long time. Although I'm not perfect, I'm going to, you know, get angry or whatever. But today, this book has made me a mature woman. And when I do my food, when I write down my food plan in the morning, I heard from another member that I write down an attitude plan. I have a food plan and I have an attitude plan. And part of my attitude plan is to be kind, loving, patient, to see the good in others, see where religious people are right, see how I can be useful. And yes, things come up. And there are people that I don't particularly like. But you know what? Maybe they don't like me either. Whatever. I'm another bozo on the bus. And we all have the right to be here. We're all God's kids. And as long as I take a kindly and tolerant view of them, and I ask God to give me the strength and the direction to carry out that attitude, then my side of the street is clean. And I'm not going to the bags and the boxes and the crap. I'm measuring, I'm weighing, I'm looking at beautiful vegetables to eat, and I'm feeling light and with the sunlight of the Spirit. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. And Cheryl, you'll be our last share. Sorry, Jordanelle, we won't have time for you. Come back tomorrow. And Cheryl, if you could take 2 minutes, that would be awesome.
Thank you. I will do that. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. And I just wanted to share that when I got to this paragraph in my step work, this was a huge leap of faith and compassion for me, because up to this point, I had just written down every single thing that in my lifetime anyone had done to me that caused a resentment for me, and real or fancied, and I was not a happy person, and all I could see was how they did me wrong. I did have, on the page before, it tells me two things. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger, and that the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. And that was a big deal. And so as I got to this paragraph, I was starting to see things from a different angle. And thankfully, as I went forward in the steps, I took a whole different view of this, a very humbling view, because I had to look at what my fault, what my part was in all of this. And I know that I want people to show compassion towards me. So if I want people to show compassion towards me, I'm going to have to be compassionate towards them. And as we go even further into the steps, we get to step 10, and we get something that we can do on a daily basis that's going to save us. And it says we avoid retaliation or argument. So when we get to the 10th step, you know, you can argue, you can retaliate, but for me, I have to do a 10th step first. And you know what the miracle is? After I do the 10th step, I don't feel like arguing and I don't feel like retaliating. That's the miracle of the program. I'm so thankful that I didn't do either one of these things, because by just walking away and doing a 10th step, I hear the buzzer. I'll just wrap up with, you know what? I saved myself from possibly days or weeks of misery because just because of that simple opening my mouth on the spur of the moment. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Cheryl S. And we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Reggie O. please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Texas. And our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.